Welcome to Seeking Scripture Deep Diving Bible Study. I'm Christy Jordan, and I want to help you develop a firsthand relationship with the whole Word of God. For links and graphics mentioned in my podcast, please visit the corresponding post on seekingscripture.com. May Yahweh bless the reading of His Word. Good morning, siblings. Today's reading is Mark 14. There is so much in today's single chapter reading that it's actually a bit overwhelming to even try to write about it. We could spend weeks here. Instead, I will keep my notes brief and look forward to your rabbit trails in the comments. Rabbit trails. One of the recurring themes we will see today is that people, including us, focus on the physical while Messiah focuses on the eternal. In Mark 14:4, we read, "Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, 'Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor.' And they rebuked her harshly." Here, we have Messiah's own apostles viewing someone using expensive perfume to anoint him as a waste. These men had sat at his feet while he taught about the kingdom of heaven, and yet their focus still remained on the wealth and offerings of this world. She took the best of the best and literally poured it out on Messiah's feet. That one bottle could have constituted everything of value she had in her life, and she poured it all out for him. You know, while people today talk about finding balance and carving out me time, it just doesn't get more indulgent than sitting at our Father's feet. I don't want balance. It is a privilege to serve our mighty King. Let us then serve Him with our whole hearts and our whole lives. Tip all my scales towards Him. Put it all in His corner. We have a mysterious passage in today's reading about an unidentified man. Mark 14, verses 51 through 52 reads, "And a young man followed him, with nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked." This is all we're told of this young man, but it is very deliberately added to the story in a manner which tells us that it is important. Many historians speculate that this was Mark himself, the author of this book. They say that this was his way of saying, "I was there. I left him too." These are well-developed theories for that, and also for it being Lazarus. There are just two of the many theories out there about this. However, with so little information given, each theory must rely most heavily on speculation. And so I go back to my default of, if Yahweh had have needed us to know who this was, He would have told us. Still, some see it as a literary device to tell us that all abandoned the Messiah, even those who followed Him in silence, with the act of running away naked representing their shame. I take this story as true because it is presented to us as true, and I have no reason not to have faith in that. We can't know who this was or exactly why it was placed here, but I do think there are parallels between this young man and the verses that tell us we will be clothed in righteousness, in white robes. This scene reminds me of our salvation, that linen cloth representing, for me, the pure white garments we will be given. And the young man running away from this is symbolic to me of those times where we might turn from our salvation. The Father doesn't take back the gift, but we can leave it. Yeshua didn't take His cloth away. He left it when He left Messiah. We've spoken of this at length before, so I won't go any further with it, but I just wanted to share the pondering of this world-weary brain of mine. Here's a few quick bullet points. Mark 14:27 is quoting Zechariah 13:7. Mark 14:48-50, quoting Isaiah 53:7-12. Mark 14:62, check out Revelation 1:7. Now, I'd like to take a writer's liberty and backtrack a bit to a passage in Matthew. My sister in Messiah, Donna, and I had a wonderful conversation about this passage this past week, and I gained some insight that I think will be encouraging to all of us. This passage is from Matthew 9:18. 9:18 through 26 reads, While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, If I only touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went all through the district. So this grief-stricken father comes to Messiah to plead for his young daughter, who has passed away. Let's talk about timeline here. Surely her parents had done all that they could do. No doubt, time had passed between the girl passing away, their efforts, their cries for help to their neighbors, perhaps local healers coming to try and help, and then taking the journey to find Messiah in order to plead for his help after all else had failed. In fact, when Messiah arrives, an organized movement of mourning has already taken place. Unlike with Lazarus, we aren't told how much time has passed. But keep in mind, with Lazarus, we were told that it had been 3 days. I think it's safe to assume about the same time had passed for this girl as well. My point is, she was dead. Gone. Her physical body had ceased to function. What did Messiah say, though? She's not dead. She is only sleeping. Now, let us connect one more set of dots by keeping in mind that touching a deceased person makes one unclean for a period of 7 days, according to Numbers 19:11. And this would have been well known. But Messiah did not hesitate to touch her. Why? His statement tells us far more than we realize. The girl is not dead, but sleeping. Here's where we need to step back a moment and look at the bigger picture. Messiah was not fully of this world. His time here was only temporary, as is ours. But we lose sight of that more than we actually remember it. Now, Messiah realized that in a way that we can only begin to understand. He saw her as a soul first, not as body. In Messiah's primary world, she wasn't dead. She was only sleeping. We get too caught up in this world. We see skin color and political party and social class and education, and these are things that will all be stripped away when we enter the spiritual world. We claim to see beyond that, and we claim to focus on the spiritual as Messiah did, but then we spend an inordinate amount of time fighting for the things of this world as if our eternity depended on them. Messiah saw the soul. He didn't see the outer shell. We fall so terribly short in this. Let it be stripped away in our sight now, just as it was with Messiah. She is not dead. She is only sleeping. Perhaps the same is true with us. It's time to wake up. In our reading, our Messiah is about to die for us. All he asks in return is that we live for him. All in. Time to tip those scales. Test everything. Hold tight to what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. We are saved by grace alone. Obedience is not the root of our salvation. It is the fruit. May Yahweh bless the reading of his word. I love y'all. Bye-bye.